Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Episode 100 of The Morning After. I'm Jesse Kiefer.
This is The Morning After. I'm Sari Kamen.
And I am Jason Colucci.
Jason Colucci, throwback host here on The Morning After in honor of episode 100. And we would be silly to not give a shout out to also former host Jen Tullock.
Oh, yes. So I would be basically Jack Parr. She'd be... You guys like the Conan O'Brien. Oh, no, not the Conan O'Brien. You like the Jimmy Fallon. I'm trying to think of who.
Sari's totally Jimmy Fallon. She's the future of The Tonight Show.
Can I ask you a question? Who canceled the last minute that you asked me to come on the show?
Jen Tullock. And Mario Batali.
Fair enough.
We tried, but you know what? You're a good second.
No, that's good. Yeah, when I found that out, I started buying all of the orange, whatever the stupid shoes he wears.
Crocs.
Yeah, Crocs, and then I put a hole in his Vespa. Figured he couldn't get here.
Well,
how did you end up on the show?
I don't know. we're just going right forward, aren't we?
Oh, no, I was just, I thought we have the open forum.
Well, I work for the network, and I'd co-hosted a couple times when either Jesse or Jen had other things to do, and Jen left because she's a famous actor. And
actress, if you're a real actor, you call it actor. Yes, she is.
Yeah. She's above gender. And since I had been on a couple times as a guest host, it was just kind of a natural progression.
Gotcha.
I have to say, there wouldn't be an awkward intro if Jason Colucci wasn't involved. It's not a show with Jason Colucci.
I did not know.
If it doesn't get a little bit weird. But I want to say, I want to say some things because I've been, you know, involved with the show for almost 100 episodes. I guess 96 episodes.
There you go.
And I just want to say my piece. We've come a long way since the first episode on September 18th, 2011.
Is that what you have?
That's how long ago it was. When Jason Colucci plucked The Morning After from his mind grapes. I elbowed my way into the producer position by episode 9 and since then have spent morning afters after morning afters after morning afters at Roberta's every Sunday. In 100 episodes, we've been on Eater's Top 5 Things You Missed on Heritage Radio Network countless times, interviewed hundreds of food, wine, restaurant industry visionaries, coined the phrase, what's on the menu at Chardonnay's, been to Bonnaroo twice.
Chardonnay's at the airport.
There is no real Chardonnay's.
Okay.
There's one in Connecticut.
There's a Chardonnay at the airport, at JFK or something.
I don't believe you because I haven't seen it.
Terminal 5.
I am
Terminal
so
anyone listening, go on Terminal 5 JFK. There's a restaurant called Chardonnay. Go on, sorry.
Oh, my God. Terminal 5. All right, you heard it here first on The Morning After. So we've been to Bonnaroo twice. We've sort of been to Gugamuga twice. We've once held a marathon, day-long, nonstop interview session at the International Food Service and Restaurant Show. We've consistently spent at least $25 a Sunday on pizza and booze here at Roberta's, which adds up to about fucking $2,500.
We could have produced an early 1990s independent film for the amount of time and money we spent. We could have produced Swingers.
Could have done a lot of things with $2,500. Instead, I've just packed it onto my love handles. I have to say, I've met some of my best friends while making some punk rock food radio, so I feel like The Morning After is totally winning. And on today's show, obviously, taking a look back to the show's creation with Jason Colucci, the original host, we're going to peer into the show's future with my co-host Sari Kamen and round out this milestone with one of Jen Tullock's best What's on the Menu at Chardonnay's. Sari, tell me about the future of The Morning After.
Well, that was lovely. Well, I'm going to peer into my crystal ball.
Is that like the magic eight ball thing that we don't hear about anymore?
Yeah, it's like... But the answer is perfect.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you know, I really have a lot to say about the future, and I've been giving it a lot of thought, but sometimes it's hard for me to express myself.
Sorry to hear that.
It's sorry. Okay. But wait.
Okay.
There's a remedy. Sometimes I have trouble expressing myself without music and hip-hop. So with that being said, I'd like to share my thoughts in a rap. Episode 100, it's the morning after. Bringing you food bits with an injection of laughter. Started back in the day on Heritage Radio. What happened then? Well, I really don't know. Cause me and Jesse K were the future of food. With more street cred than Daniel Boulud. We don't have to be French just to get you in the mood. So tune in to two ladies with the power of the mic. Check out our page on Facebook and be sure to click like. If episodes were years, we'd be a century old. But we're not. We're so fresh and our food talk is bold. We got ladies in the biz, fellas on the line. I'm not a rapper, but I still got this rhyme. Today we're going back to the future like Marty McFly. In the HRN studio with this Jason Colucci guy. I never knew him before, but he's an OG. Paving the way for Jesse and me. And let's not forget Gentolik, like from back in the day. With front of house stories and crazy talking Chardonnay. But it's 2014 and it's the morning of the next day. So sit back, relax, and let Sari and Jesse show you the way.
Oh my God, Gabrielle, have you heard this new Joe Notari song?
No.
It's like really weird.
Oh yeah, like bad?
No, it's not like bad weird. It's just like, ugh, gosh, I don't know what to say about it. It's like,
like what?
Like funky?
Yeah, you better. Gonna let her run in front with me. Weighing up to three. Puddle jumping in a jet, we get a swag for free. More glitter than the motherfucking cast of Glee. So does she, so does she. 1, 2, 3, baby, come on, use that dance degree. Daddy being for the biz, for the frizz, for the cheers that you get when you treat it with a hoot. And I see this is a cute in my ass, fucker. You ain't cute, you ain't cute, you ain't cute. Post stop white collar. Mama eat for a daughter. You can't shock her. Where the top from? But you got it at the thrift shop. Tick tock, tick tock. How many wanna how to get a big top? Homie, get your dick lock. Homie, get a tea. Yeah.
I said I'll be so many, then I hear what I wanna be so many. Smoking in my brain, now you're on my neck. Yeah, then I will get you on my shoulder back. And then I'll be so many, then I hear what I wanna be so many. Smoking in my brain, now you're on my neck. Yeah, then I will get you on my shoulder back.
Sneak like a killer, spook like a thriller. Hate it when she's with a tutu. Shock collar, suck for a daughter. Got a pussy good, but you know I'm taller.
While I got a fan, now you're on my back. Yeah, thread a wild world with a hoe attached.
So holler, I did it, I'ma hold it, yeah. Look deep. Did it.
Right.
I'ma run it.
Yeah.
Get a tongue in.
Yeah.
I don't run, son. That's you.
Genitari. Customers only. It's Pete. Pete.
Pete from Holy Sam.
I said it'll be a cool minute. Then I hear what I want to be so many. Smoking in my brain, now you're on my neck. Yeah, then I will get hit on my shoulder back. And then it'll be a cool minute. Then I hear what I want to be so many. Smoking in my brain, now you're on my neck.
And we're back at the morning after on Heritage Radio Network. Word on the street is that we've got Jack Inslee on the phone.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, what's up, boy?
Jack, happy 100th episode.
Oh, thanks, Jack.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks.
Did you hear my rap?
Can I say that? You guys are my favorite Sunday show. Am I going to offend anybody right now? It's true, though.
Maybe, but we don't care.
Michael Mecca.
Did you hear that Mr. Jason Colucci is here?
Is that Jason Colucci?
It is, Jack. How are you doing?
Wow, Jason, man. Good to hear your voice. Congrats on... how many episodes did you do?
I think I did 48.
48.
Yeah.
I remember...
And you were stoned for 42 of them.
We had Bjork on the show, too. That was pretty incredible.
Yeah, we did have Bjork on the show when Jason was here.
Yeah. Really? Pretty amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I hope you guys are having a great episode.
We are, Jack. Thank you so much. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the East Village.
Oh, yeah? Your new abode now? You're no longer a Bushwickian?
I'm not, no.
Thank God for the affordable Obamacare. Now you can afford that newer place. I saw your post.
He's been doing a lot of research on all of us.
I have.
Yeah.
Well, guys, here's to 100 more and 100 more after that.
Thanks, Jack.
Thanks, Jack.
Have
Cheers.
A good Sunday.
You're all the best.
Bye.
Bye.
So as we've been saying, Jason Colucci,
so
we do. I mean, no, that means a lot that Jack
That's
called
really
in.
Sweet. He's a love.
I mean, he was the king of engineers before Joe became the king of engineers. And now Evan's going to be the new king of engineers.
He is, because Joe is in London being a rock star.
Being a rock star. And speaking of rock stars, Jason Colucci, I'm going to give you that. You gave me this opportunity to have the mic 40-something episodes ago.
40 years ago.
It was an interesting time. I thank you guys for inviting me back. It's very inspirational, specifically where I am at in my life right now. It feels really good to be here on a creative event. I can make as many jokes as I want and bust chops and mess with Jack or the engineers' heads and stuff like that. But it feels, on the creative side, it feels really good to be here.
So what was the, I guess this is the number one question I want to ask you. Why is the show called The Morning After?
A couple of reasons. It's kind of funny. Pastis has its like sort of last couple of weeks for it closes. I was working for Keith McNally on a restaurant project called Polino's, which is recently closed. you know, and it wasn't a big place. It was sort of after it was opened, the chef at the time, Nate Appleman, left, and the place was opened and the place was running and I felt creatively unfulfilled, and I was kind of really bored. And a couple of things happened in my life. One was I met Patrick Martins, and I was guest hosting his show at noon here on Sunday. And I fell in love with sort of the medium, and then I fell in love with a girl. And I was very inspired on both ends. And I just – the idea of The Morning After had nothing to do with any sort of like innuendo. I sort of had every idea of like what – if you were in the restaurant industry, what that meant to you, whether it was you worked really hard and you slept in, or you were doing the walk of shame, or you fell in love with somebody, but it kind of encompassed everything that we as sort of industry people deal with. And I wanted to sort of get into that, one. Two, also sort of meet people. Three, and had to have like sort of an unfiltered kind of thing. So I fell in love with a girl. I fell in love with the show. And I felt very, very creative.
Do you? What was like the original vision as far as how you wanted the layout of the show to be?
I wanted that. I mean, I think the hardest thing we deal with, specifically in podcast or anything, is content. And I wanted to get as much as I could in that 45 minutes or an hour. And I wanted to get the best time. You guys have whether Patrick or. Mike Edison or anything. 3 o'clock on Sunday is the best time ever for restaurant people. It was the best time, one, to get them in the studio, to get anybody to listen to. It seemed very kind of glamorous. It was a perfect time to kind of get anybody in there, and I was really happy with sort of getting that time slot and sort of talking about everything, whether it was serious food stuff or just kind of, you know, gabbing away at, you know, whatever. I'm sorry, I'm looking at you. Okay. But that's really what it was about. I just wanted to be really honest.
What was one of your favorite memories from hosting?
I think bringing everybody together every week, it was really tough. I mean, as you guys kind of probably realize now, putting the show together. But if a couple,
I mean, I realized then I was putting the show together.
I mean, a couple of like sort of milestones were the like sort of pushing things to a certain point, and then sort of like Googa Mooga was here, it pushed there, and like getting into go to Bonnaroo, going to Bonnaroo, and pushing there, and sort of like trying to like just over top whatever you did the couple of weeks before. So any sort of like thing of pushing us forward. Felt really good. And just having guests in here and sort of, you know, when we met with Danny Meyer's people at
Gramercy Tavern.
At Gramercy Tavern. Any of that stuff. So it just felt good. And I felt like, and I still do to this day, and no one is doing sort of like, well, I mean, maybe you guys are doing a little bit to this now, is no one was really doing what our industry is about, which is like really family kind of stuff. And you know, people take favorite sort of ideas and things like that. But I just really just didn't want to. I wanted to get all that sort of like food fluff out of the way, all that this is the best chef ever kind of the way. I just wanted to really just talk about what was actually happening.
So you left around one of the episode 40 something. What have you been doing now?
It was tough to leave. There was a couple of things that were happening in my life. One, and this is nothing a shot at the show now, is personally, I felt I brought it to a point that I couldn't go any further. This is my own sort of personal ADD kind of stuff. And two, at a certain point in time, like, sort of life gets in a way and you have to sort of make concessions. I signed a very big confidentiality agreement, and I felt that I would have been in negligence of that after a week of being in management, of having a show, like, being like, hey, Jesse, I have to talk to you a little bit here. You're really great at what you're doing, but we need to coach you here on how to be a better restaurant manager. And you'd be like, fuck you, I heard you on the show the other day talking about how crappy the pizza is here. Like, so I felt like that was a really big conflict, and it was really tough. So it was a few different things, but I think at heart, it's what separates, great artists from other artists. You know, some people just aren't able to sort of make sacrifices. And at that time in my life, I wasn't really able to make a sacrifice. I sacrificed myself to my career, which is great and makes sense to a lot of people. But my career came before my art, which was hard for me, really hard, and kind of where I'm at now. So that's kind of what happened.
So are you still choosing your career over your art?
Here I am. Well, I think as you guys all know, I sort of, a couple of things happened. I really fell in love, and I was really happy, and fell in love with the show, and it went for a really great run. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of things got in the way after that. Now, I'm a single guy, and I feel like, it's funny, and I'm not comparing myself to either of these two people, but, Norman Mailer wrote a book about Picasso, and one of the things he talked about Picasso was Picasso would wake up every morning with a tremendous amount of dread. And I think as artists, we wake up with that dread, and how do we get that out of our life? And, sometimes that happens creatively through work, and for a long time, I wasn't, the creative side was being suppressed, and I was making concessions on how I feel, and it sort of cut back on who I am as, as a person. And here I am now. You have to sort of fulfill what you really feel is important. And I feel like being here now and talking to you guys about art and stuff like that is very important. Mm-hmm. But I don't think necessarily like making a lot of money is tremendously important.
That's kind of the realization that you've come to.
Yeah, I think so. I think that putting a team together and inspiring people is amazing. But for me personally, I really need, I don't need necessarily to have my name, the first name, be seen in a creative context, but I need to push that creative context forward.
So one of the big things when you were on the show was kind of you being a restaurant industry or insider, and other people being restaurant industry insiders. So I can't imagine that you've stopped
about being
putting your ear to the street.
Well,
about what's going on.
Well, I have to say this. I think to anyone who's listening to Heritage Radio right now, about the Northeast specifically, like New York, Boston, it's a tough time. The whole first quarter got killed. Whether you're, EMM Group doing catch, or you're, you guys are doing, terroir. This season really killed a lot of things. So, sort of like evaluating that, and seeing kind of like where all the restaurant people are. But it's been a really tough first quarter for a lot of people to sort of like sit back and make money. And I think a lot of places, specifically like in the outer boroughs, think that they're doing something wrong. But I think it's been a horrible first quarter for a lot of people.
And across the board, you think there's no one out there who was raking it in January?
Well, there's two people who I love. I was going to put in Anita Lowe and then my meat shop meatball boys. I mean, I think those are Anita Lowe. I said this, and we said this in the morning after awards. Anita Lowe is one of the best chefs in the city. Period. And take Daniel Boulud, throw him out of French window, and take Thomas Keller. Like, there's people who are in kitchens and make a concession about if their kitchen is going to be the best. And I'm so happy that Anita got, what she deserved. And that's one of the things. On the other side of the fun side of, like, being friends and doing restaurant stuff, Daniel and Michael like have done amazing stuff, and they're having fun. They're not trying to reinvent the wheel. They're doing stuff, and they're sort of like slowly building a business. So I'm really proud. I mean, those are the two sort of like different ends of the spectrum that I'm really proud of.
That you feel like they were maybe the exception this year.
No, I mean, it's, I think that exception to how hard it is to make it in New York City. I mean, the best and worst thing if you're a restaurateur or person who's looking for a job is a group. But what does a group really do except protect landlords and sort of everything else? I mean, groups are great, but it really cuts back to, like, say tomorrow me and you wanted to open a place, and we were really hard workers, and we saved $150,000. $150,000 is a lot of money. We'd have to open two or three places to actually make money and have, like, a really healthy environment for our staff, be able to provide them with insurance. So I think the group has been great for our business, but has also really hurt our business as well.
Because it's kind of, lessening the brand by
creating... It's sort of de facto creating its own little, like, sort of union kind of thing. And a union of owners, not union of workers.
Mm-hmm. So I was asking you about if you've listened to any of the shows.
I have not. Well, no, and the reason is, and I told your... I don't know if you guys got... what happened in Paris, but your girlfriend, when I saw her recently, I don't necessarily, I'm a very opinionated person, and I was very happy where the show went when I asked you to sort of like take over, and it's sort of a stewarding kind of a thing, like the Tonight Show or whatever. It's not sort of comparing it to it at all. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to sort of listen to it and like text you and say, hey, this is where you need to go. Let it go where it needs to go. So no, I haven't listened to one show. I mean, I have not for that specific reason. I think it's great to sort of like have the support of myself. I will support you in any way, but like where it needs to go, it needs to go. Well, I mean, what am I really going to sort of like give you advice on?
Are you going to listen to this show?
No.
Me neither.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Come on, you'll listen back.
Possibly. I possibly can. Well, what's going on? Well, you're very quiet over there.
I'm just listening. I'm learning things.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for your social activity.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for your retweets.
Oh, muzzle
tough. Okay, this is getting to like a social media orgy right now. I can't handle it. Jason, what have you been up to?
I've been really... I mean, has everyone seen the Father of the Bride?
Yes.
You know, when she tells Steven Martin... she's met a guy, and he asks what he does for a living.
Yeah.
He says he's consulting. He said consulting, that's code for unemployed.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, and I think in our business, like, it's the most overused word, but essentially I've been doing that with friends who have businesses in outer boroughs who are looking for advice on how to sort of do something or sort of kind of go in a specific direction. So I've really been doing that. I was working for a company, a nightlife company, for about 2.5 years. I got really burnt out on that. As much as I loved those guys and everything they were doing, it was really tough. I felt like a heart surgeon or an OBGYN in like the 80s. Like, I was like constantly on call. I was like,
wait, what is specific about the 80s for both of them?
Specifically, like,
an
there was
OBGYN heart.
Well, I mean, I just felt, I mean, it just, it makes it feel like it might have been the last bastion of time where, like, I don't know, you might have, like, been away from a phone and, like, got bumped to the next guy. But, like, for me, I felt like every issue, it's tough to sort of escape issues now in our world. And when you're dealing with nightlife, which is what I was dealing with for two and a half years, it becomes a whole other monster. And it was really tough for me to sort of like step away, sort of like get in, like, I kind of got really burnt out on that kind of whole thing.
I mean, I think that is something I've seen across the board, this like constant contact that people in upper management positions have to be in.
It's the next big lawsuit, and it's not from here, but somebody is going to come here from Ohio and take a restaurant job, and they're going to sign this contract, and it's basically going to be one of these like agreements where it says you have to do X amount of time or this, and somebody's going to go in, and some restaurateur is going to take advantage of it, and it's going to help a lot of people. But I feel like the next big lawsuit is in sort of the management side, like people working 60 to 80 hours a week, based off of the fact that somebody doesn't want to necessarily hire another manager. Mm-hmm. And it's good and bad. I mean, it's good because it protects management people, but it's bad in the sense that the people that are doing it right are gonna suffer as always. But I feel like that's sort of like the next big thing, you know, to protect the management side. And I always support anything that protects the worker in our industry until I open a restaurant.
No, I mean, I think the burnout rate is 100% there. And people, yeah, I've known in the management world.
Yeah. It's always there. And nightlife is always tough. You always get, like, you know, they talk about the 1%. Like, you know, the 1% of the 1% of the annoying kids of that 1% that go to the clubs and hang out there. These are, like, the useless youth of money that hang out there and, like, oh, my God, like, let's gonna go. We're going to hang out. We're going to sit at a club. We're going to hang out. I'm going to get a bottle service. I'm going to dance on the table. And, like, sort of after a while, you realize, like, this is sort of, like, what you're supporting. And you realize this is really, like, sort of the segment of the world that I want to be a part of. Mm. You know, it pays your bills and you pays your rent and stuff like that, but you don't necessarily sort of want to, like, be behind it.
Yeah.
Right?
I had to do that for
you did?
A minute. I was a server in that situation for...
You were a cocktail?
I worked at a legitimate restaurant that decided to include, like, one night a week, be like a bottle service kind of night.
What place?
The Stand Social.
Okay, there you go.
They do this like Monday night thing. So all of a sudden on Monday nights, we went from being just regular servers to having our shifts extend till 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
And, you know, promoters, models, bottle service.
He's a promoter. The promoters don't tip. What does that mean? They get everything for free. Yeah, they don't tip.
No.
Oh, okay, great. So I worked for free for the past 3 hours? Yeah, you kind of did.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like the most surreptitious way of becoming a cocktail server ever. There was like no conversation or consent that happened. It was just all of a sudden we were like, now I'm dealing with models dancing in heels on the booth.
Yes.
Well, and what's the like the deal with the markup for bottle service? It's like
it's insanity. You know what, I kind of grew up around it a little bit in my high school years. I kind of hung out around it, but it's the same idea of why like pot gets legalized in certain areas. Like the SLA is sort of a part of it, and the idea of people kind of like hanging out and drinking, you know, bottles of liquor and whatever, and there's like a, you know, big kickbacks, so not necessarily like illegal, but just the idea of like stuff like, you know, like Grey Goose, you know, tons of Grey Goose bottles, tons of this bottle and stuff like that. But, you know, it's a part of, like, the nightlife in New York City that makes it sort of everything kind of, like, you know, go in its little direction. It's annoying if you're a new person into the industry. But unfortunately, it does serve a purpose.
It's not a way I go out and spend my time, but I've always kind of had this weird, like, dream of going into one of those places and ordering a bottle of, like, Malibu rum.
Oh, no,
just being like, I want a bottle of boo.
Well, if you were... Well, if you were part of the Mangers tour, you might. What's her face?
Well,
Hannah Montana.
I mean,
that's not her name anymore.
We're only at episode 100, so I've got plenty of time to go get some of that boo. But let's take a break.
Yeah,
take a break. Good. We're gonna come back with one of my favorite "What's on the Menu at Chardonnay's" by Jen Tulloch.
Cool.
We got beats that's fresher, no pressure, but we all run, believe we're gonna catch ya. Drive on party people, I'm a lunatic. Got juice in my boots, dance clock, tick, tick. Cock your clock, keep flowing in the club. The bass is growing, other ladies, they be jumping in my bass. Penthouse party raging, let the tiger out the cage. And black, white, Puerto Rican, Asian, do the mix. Throw my jerky on the ice, tell my homies to be nice, cause tonight you're coming twice to my party. We bounce like ping pong posse, run shit backwards like you know what?
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Snap that dynamite. Uh-huh. She the kind of girl that I know I like.
Yeah.
Jenna T.
Jenna T.
In this motherfucking party.
Hey.
Make them all wanna buy up. And I hate it when your teeth drag. She gon' bag your chicken and creep that. Yeah. Let them know where the freaks
where
at.
They
go out at night. Who's sleeping?
Paris. Snap clap dynamite. Boom, boom. Snap clap dynamite. London. Snap clap dynamite. Boom, boom.
Tokyo.
I'm working on for school.
Hello. We're back.
And we're back here on the morning after. Evan, you got that clip for us?
Sure. Here I go.
This is really inspired by the closing ceremonies in Sochi,
which is in Russia.
Pussy Riot.
We're back here in the morning after on Heritage Radio. So it's about that time. We've given you enough time to prepare. It's about that time to go to my favorite restaurant and yours, that mythical place that celebrates all bad food and wine trends from years past. What's on the menu at Chardonnay's?
What's on the menu with Chardonnay's?
So we here at The Morning After don't like to get too political, but I've been thinking a lot about the unrest that's occurring currently in Russia due to the gay propaganda legislation, and feeling a lot for the people that are suffering because of it. And I wanted to take a brief glimpse into the future. I wanted to take a brief glimpse into a brighter, rosier future in Russia, and thus would like to invite you to a wedding in Russia 15 years in the future. May I have some techno music, Joe?
Nasrovia, Nasrovia to Nikita and Anatoly. I am your host, DJ Saksuani, spinning all your fabulous club favorites tonight. We've got Ananushka Pierzova with her number one hit, Dizzy, Dizzy, Dizzy. Moscow favorite, Andrei Bombom, with song that always keeps us dancing. Can you touch this? I don't think so. And finally, touching tribute by Anatoly's sister Anastasia of Celine Dion's number one hit, Power of Loving. You're not wanting to miss this. Tonight's menu of foods, specially cooked by Nikita's babushka Nina, includes following food items. Pickled cucumber spears with sallow and fermented cabbage, yum yum. Pickled herring with cucumber and black bread, oh boy. Pickled tomatoes and dill. Potatoes. 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 Just plain dill on plate with tiny spoon and shot of vodka. Another shot of vodka. Pickled vodka. Potato vodka. And finally, block of farmer's cheese with fried buns and vodka. It looks like everyone is getting into the fabulous spirit tonight. Uncle Anton appears to be kissing an ice sculpture shaped like the David. And there's cousin Sonia, putting the dirt and dirty dancing with what appears to be one of the female cooks. Get it, Sonia. Go on with yourself. Oh no, Nikita. I see the way you're looking at the best man, Edward Snowden. Hands off, Khrushchev chick. Hands off. You're all looking beautiful tonight. Keep dancing. Keep loving. Keep drinking vodka. Keep dancing.
It's a great party.
I want to go.
It was great.
That's honestly one of my favorites. And I do really wish that Jen could have been here. But, I mean, come on. That's her at her best.
That is.
Absolutely. I will also say that we have fact-checked, and there is no Chardonnays in Terminal 5. Man.
If you know otherwise, please
don't get a tweet.
I don't
believe that. I don't believe it for a second.
Send us pictures on your Instagram.
I guarantee if you fly out of Newark. No, New York, whatever. Right. Newark is one of those crappy places. Terminal 5, whatever you find JetBlue at.
I mean, truly, the spirit of what's on the menu at Chardonnay's is alive in all airport cafes.
Yeah, because I remember when you guys flew out, you did a shot of something from a Chardonnay restaurant.
It was not actually Chardonnay's.
Yes. We got the JFK assassination going on.
No, I definitely talked about this. It was
sounds like a conspiracy.
I think it was like called like Katika or Casa Tica or something like that.
Confusing.
100%.
Doesn't sound like Chardonnay's at all.
That would have like the every set of like bad every community board or every sort of government agency would be there every 5 seconds when somebody like mispronounced something. Like, we need to be here right now. But no, if you're flying into it. But no, I'm 99% sure.
99. Yes. You heard it here.
Oh, the internet.
Wait, can I? The internet's 100%. The guy who's in the engineer booth. What's his name?
His name is Evan.
Oh, he's not even listening. Hey, Evan, can you do me a favor? Wait, can you give a microphone over there?
He's not an OBGYN. He's not on call.
Hey, wait, are you a heart surgeon? Mike, what is his name?
Evan.
Hey, Evan, can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Next time you talk to Michael Colomeco,
yeah.
Can you tell him I have a hit squad out for him stealing my intro to my show?
Oh, will do.
I wouldn't want to mess with Michael Colomeco. That's just me.
Tell Colomeco his show on Channel 13 is a blatant rip-off of the Morning After intro. And I want to call him out on that.
I'll pass the message along.
And if I see him reviewing someplace downtown, there's going to be a problem.
Yeah, the music, how did we get the theme song also?
Well, that's good. So in case you guys ever get really popular, I'll have a cease and desist letter coming.
We are really popular.
No. I mean, like, I hope you guys do. But there's a link to us that, who cares? I mean, I don't care. I want you guys to be successful with the name and stuff like that. I'm not getting into it. I mean, it was popular, but
the music. Who wrote the music?
Oh, you don't know that?
I'm asking you to inform.
His name is
Prince.
I don't know if you know. I don't know if you, his name is Jonathan Crowley. And his mom is Candace Crowley on CNN. Nobody watches that.
But Candy Crowley.
I know, yeah. Candy Crowley.
And he has a show called his band. I guess it's a band called something. But anyway, that he wrote the original thing.
The boom boom.
If Hillary runs for president, we're gonna be seeing a lot of Candy Crowley.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
I hope so.
Looking forward to that. Okay.
Well, Sari, I can't wait for the future of the show.
Yeah, let's hear about the future.
In the year 2000.
Well, in the immediate future, which is next week, which is as far as I can usually look ahead.
Okay.
Shake my 8-ball.
You know, we've certainly got things in the works.
Maybe.
But we definitely we have the guys from Pearl and Ash on the show next week. And it's also Natural Winemakers Week, so we're going to have Nick Gorvick from Jenny and Francois Selections as well.
Oh, that's great.
So it'll be kind of some wine talking, and I hope Patrick does some in-studio sabering, and it actually wouldn't be the first time we had an in-studio saber.
This is true.
But, yeah, I know. What? Get excited. Get ready. Good thing this place is all wood. Just don't face it towards the window and the brunch diners.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Sari, it's been real. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This was my
how many?
8th episode.
Doesn't even show.
Really?
Doesn't even show.
You're an old pro. Yeah. Thank you for the rap.
First professional rap.
Yeah, that was really good.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming on Tuesday to do that. I don't know.
You're weird.
Stop looking at me.
Jason's tagline was always, let's get weird.
Yeah, it was very weird.
Jason,
did we ever talk about the time when we were at Bonnaroo and do you remember that time?
Are we going to start doing this now?
No, we can't. Listen to the old episodes. You'll hear this story 7
yes.
times.
Oh, per. Yes, exactly.
Jason, though, I really thank you so much for
thank
being
you.
On the show.
Thank you. I love you guys. Thanks, I love how everything has come here. I'm really happy as a creative person. I'm just happy that somebody is creating something that I'm a part of.
Cool.
And that's as simple as that.
Thanks, Jason. It was really good to meet you.
Love you guys. Love Jess.
This is The Morning After on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.